Okay, so Dennis, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey within your career.
Thanks for having me. I moved to Canada from Ukraine in August 2013 by myself at the age of 18 years old. I was given three options for my education in the healthcare field, which was my passion at that time, and obviously it continues now. And I chose health information management. I graduated from George Brown College in 2015 and chose Canadian Arctic as my first employment opportunity and was never disappointed. Since then, a lot have changed. I am a married man now, a father of 1 month-old son, and a happy citizen of the gorgeous northern capital of British Columbia called Prince George.
That's great. So again, congratulations on your 1 month-old. Busy times, I am sure. I also went to George Brown College. So I guess my next question is, what made you, George Brown is in Ontario, so I'm guessing you were living in Toronto at the time. What made you decide on the Arctic Circle?
My college professor at the time, Taras Gulla, he was a teacher of statistics and math and stuff, mentioned that one of the previous students is working in the northern town called Inuvik in Northwest Territories. Back then, I was not aware of how northern Inuvik is, so I asked for her email and we connected. I wrote my CHMA exam on Wednesday. Early Saturday, the same week, just a few days later, I had a flight to Edmonton. And then on Sunday, the second flight, on the very small plane from Edmonton to Inuvik, with three stops in between. I had a feeling I was on the bus, not on the plane. On Monday, I started my first shift. I did it because I wanted to learn every single HM role within health records department. In the small hospitals, you do everything from charting to coding and sending data to Statistics Canada, so you get the knowledge of how departments operate in no time. Inuvik was the unique experience. I fell in love with Arctic nature, culture, and people that live in small towns of the north. Honestly, I don't think it's describable. You must experience it yourself. Yourself. Understand?
I agree. I had the opportunity, so I worked. So I'm a nurse by background, so I had the opportunity to work. I worked in Fort Good Hope, and then I worked in the
Nice.
Yukon. So I
Nice.
had very small Fort Good Hope, as you know, is a fly-in
Yeah.
community. I did some of my training in Inuvik, I think for a week, and you're right. It is a very beautiful, beautiful land, and you have to experience it. It's very indescribable, in terms of the dynamics and the culture. What has been your most unexpected or memorable moment in working in Inuvik?
10 p.m. I think it was Saturday night. I am laying in bed watching a movie and falling asleep. My phone rings and I get a text from my manager saying, "Go outside." No more explanation. That's it. Just that. I have to listen to my manager, so I got dressed and I went outside. It was my first aurora, or northern lights as they call them, dancing bright green and charming. I spent an hour looking at it. I've seen many more since then, but none of them were as bright and as green and as lively, I would say. So thank you to my manager for that.
I love that. So you came from Ukraine to Canada. You said at the age of 18. What made you decide to pursue health or the health field? What was the draw or the attraction?
I used to be, I should say, an elite runner back home in Ukraine for 6 years. And when you run a lot, you talk a lot to yourself about how your body works and what, how to get faster and why you get faster. So I start to learn about anatomy, and I loved anatomy classes in high school. And then at some point, I caught myself eating my lunch and watching open heart surgery in 4K on YouTube. So I was like, this is a call. So what ended up happening, and I was applying to George Brown College or to other institutions as well in Canada, because I wanted to be a nurse. And they say, because you're an international student, you cannot be a nurse because you need to have a practicum, so you need to have an insurance. And we don't want to pay you because you're foreign to Canada. So I was given three options: office administration, fitness trainer, and health information management. So I chose health information management.
Well, that's unfortunate. The nursing profession would have, I'm sure, benefited from your passion.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I had a thought while you were talking, and it's escaped me. So I'll just move on to my next question. You said you took a management role within 3 weeks of leaving George Brown College and landing in Nubeck. What was that like? That first initial shock that now you're in the field that you studied again.
What happened was the department had five or seven people. I don't remember now. And I was the second, and only two people were CMAT certified. One was the supervisor who was at the same time a manager, and then myself. So in about, I don't know, 2 weeks, a month, it was a very short amount of time. She went for a 2 week conference in Edmonton, I believe. And she literally gave me keys from the department and said, "Now you are supervising everyone." For the time I was gone, I was 20 years old. Okay. So the funny story I have, first of all, it was a great confidence boost and an even better resume pitch. And I remember a unit clerk who was my mother's age asking me to leave early because of her appointment. But as I said, I was 20 years old. So that was a little bit awkward. Yeah.
You're right. That must have been a really good confidence boost to be able to say that at 20 you had the keys to a whole department and there you are supervising. What advice would you give someone who's about to take on a big responsibility in their career, regardless of what their career is?
I think being empathetic and learning how to listen are two most important leadership components. No one will teach you how to be a leader. It's something you have to invest the personal time into if you want to be an effective manager and a great friend at your workplace. Because I think that my coworkers are my friends, and we go beyond work usually. So yeah, be empathetic, learn what is active listening, and help your friends. If they need you, be there for them.
Outside of empathy, what is your biggest, I guess, leadership takeaway?
I love to be very honest and open about my personal life. If I'm struggling, I would say I'm struggling right now. My dog is not feeling great. My mom is sick. And then people feel that. And they open back, and then you create the relationship. Because nobody creates a great team in the meetings. You create team outside the meetings. So being open and honest and friendly.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. A fun question. If you could have a dinner party with three people, alive or dead, who have influenced your career, who would you invite and why?
It's a great question because I read it and I was like, that would be so much fun. Because those people are from very different parts of my life. First person is, her name is Oksana Gubich. She's an information management specialist at College of Nurses of Ontario. One second, I'll change the title here. Oksana is my best friend. We met at George Brown College during our HAM program and spent many years being a great support for each other in college, in work life, and in personal life. She taught me how to be the best version of myself. I wouldn't be the same today without her wisdom during my 20s because she's 5 years older than me. And about how we connected, she's Ukrainian as well. So she came to me when I was microwaving my food and in George Brown College on the top floor behind and said, "Hey, do you speak Ukrainian or Russian?" I said, "I speak Ukrainian." This was 9 years ago. In 2 months, it's going to be 9 years since we talked to each other every week. I actually called her when I was writing this. I said, She was doing my interview and she was like, "Oh, nice." And said, in 2 months, I said, "It's going to be 9 years." Then I was warming my food and you knock on my back. So this is Oksana. The second person would be Julius Verasian. He's a decision support manager at University of Health Network. University Health Network. Julius was my college teacher, then my first manager during my placement. Then Julius hired me to work on the coding mapping project. He was also my manager in WSAB, workplace health and safety, right, of Ontario. Because in a while, don't remember because in BC it's WorkSafe BC, different name. So WSAB, he was also my manager at WSAB when I was invited to work for him or for them. Julius was my HM father, if I can say that. And he's the only HM professional that I know of who knows ICD-10, CCI by heart, all the abbreviation codes, every single one. And he taught us, the students, and then his coworkers how to do that, because every single code is a, there is a system, and he knows them by heart, which is, I don't understand how that's possible. And then the last but not the least person here is Andrea Loret, original director of data analytics and information governance at Northern Health Authority. Andrea is my current manager, even though this is my third year in Northern Health Authority and second year under Andrea's supervision. The amount of knowledge and wisdom that I gained in the short period of time is impressive. Andrea always looked at the bigger picture from the organizational perspective, so with great leadership skills, and despite her tight meeting schedule, makes you feel important when you need her advice. I'm very excited for my journey under her mentorship.
It sounds like you've had some fabulous mentors and friends who have sort of coached you and mentored you and taken you under their wing and supported you along the way. And I'm shocked at, I can't remember the second person's name, but the fact that they know
Julius.
ICD-10 by
Yeah.
heart. That's impressive. That's
Yeah.
impressive because I've heard there's lots of codes and the book is pretty big. So
Seven
that's
thousand.
amazing.
CCI has 7,000 codes. The abbreviation.
How long has he worked in the field? I'm just curious if you
Oh,
know.
I wouldn't 10 years probably. He was
Okay.
our teacher in college in the second year. And then he
Okay.
was also working for the company where I took my placement for my second year. And then because he saw how dedicated I am to the placement, he hired me out of 12 people. But that's later in the answers. So yeah, 10 years. He had five, but he said when he was a student, he was, I don't know if you like it, he was poor, maybe broke. So he was
Okay.
working five jobs at the same time while studying, which is, I can't believe it.
Wow. Wow.
So
That's dedication, right? And
yeah.
do what you have to do as well.
Yeah.
What's the most surprising thing you've learned about healthcare management? So two parts actually. What's the most surprising thing that you learned about healthcare management and then healthcare management in a smaller setting?
I don't think healthcare management can be divided based on the setting because I think it's applicable. The same skill set is applicable to every situation in the health records department you work in because people are the same. The situation, the life conditions may be harsh because it's minus 50 outside and sometimes employees come to work out with grumpy because they've got cold, but nothing changes from the big picture. In Inovic, I learned that patients always come first. It doesn't matter if they're yelling at you because you told that they have to pay for the ROI for the information, right? Or if you are extremely busy, they don't care. They need you, so you have to find time and accommodate them. When I was a supervisor, I had a patient asking for her medical records. When I told her that she must wait for 2 weeks, she said that her helicopter leaves Inuvik in 4 hours to get her home to the remote community where she lives. So I stopped everything I was doing and released the chart. So this was the takeaway. And I took that in my future career. And like now I use it. I don't deal with patients now, but patients always come first. Doesn't matter what mood they're in. You're always there to help, you know?
I love that. I love that you dropped everything to help her. Not a lot of people would. So how did your experience at George Brown College prepare you for your career path?
The first thing that stood out for me is that out of 90 students in my program, only 55 graduated. This means that HAM program is not easy, and without investing 2 years of your life in studying with passion, you might not pass some of the challenging courses, like coding, like epidemiology was a little challenging for me, some statistics, pathophysiology was very challenging too. I didn't expect the program to be easy, but English is also a foreign language to me, so I was learning medical terminology, anatomy, and learning English at the same time with the vocabulary in my hand. So when people were reading 30 pages in 2 hours, I was spending four because I was also translating sentences, words I didn't know, and so on. Also, a second year work placement I found extremely interesting and eye-opening. My first official HM job was offered to me because of my dedication to work placement. I was sleeping overnight in the college library because I had a certain quota of code to map. As a result of that, I was hired by Julius before I graduated in January mid-year. So,
Wow.
long story short, if you spend enough amount of time and dedication to your program and to placement during the second year. I don't know if they do that right now, but when I was a student during the second year, every Friday, we spend a full day, somebody in the hospital, somebody in the private company like Maddox that I did. But Prince George, just on college will prepare you for life outside of college if you spend enough time.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. What's a talent or skill that you have that your colleagues might be surprised to learn about?
I don't think I have any talent, but I'm always making sure that my team is in the great mood and in the right mindset. I treat my coworkers as my friends, and I'm staying in touch years after separation because I absolutely care about them, because we had great time together during work, because work becomes less important if your friend is having a bad day or a tough day. And this is the moment I see some of the clerical staff is not in the right mood. I go to Tim Hortons, buy her coffee, and she's like, "For me?" And she smiles. I was like, "Yeah, for you. You don't, you know, you look grumpy today. Here's a coffee for you. Cheer your day." And they appreciate it. And then they come to you for a question when they have a question and not to somebody else. And that's what I like to see. So.
That's awesome. Oh, I'd love to be your coworker. And to go back to your comment about you don't have any talents, I'm sure you do. You were a runner, so that's one talent.
Yeah, I guess.
I always think that people don't really recognize their own talents, but others around them see. I would love to talk with, Oksana and Julia. I'm sure they would probably have a list of talents that you probably don't think about. If your information and data hub, oh, okay. If your information and data hub coordinator job had a theme song, what would it be and why?
That's a good question that got me good, and I was thinking about it. I think it would be the Bon Jovi "It's My Life." Over time, I understood that I love dealing with people and create a great work relationship. And my current role is about engaging, running meetings, and creating safe environment for those asking for data. And I'm living the dream, and I don't feel like I'm working. I'll be very honest. Maybe it's not modest, but this is what I feel like. Because before I was working in health records department for 10 years or 8 years, and the work was very operational, charts, patients, charts. This work is also operational, but it's about, I don't have anything on my desk but my laptop. It's about engaging your brain and talking to people and asking questions back and forth and organizing stuff, which is what I, it's great.
I love it. What's the most unusual challenge you faced in your role, and how did you overcome it?
I've only been with Northern Health for 2.5 years, but my biggest challenge, I guess, was presenting to HAM leaders, HAM managers in person regarding how to be a leader and how to lead. What was challenging about it is I was presenting about the leadership to managers that had staff while I had no staff who reported to me. So I was teaching them how to manage without managing, right? I overcame it with my sense of humor and engaging participants with questions and their personal stories. They liked it and asked me to present it again, but to the HAM coordinators who report to the managers. So because I did a great job, I needed to do more job.
Good for you. Good for you. How has it been being a member of CHEMA? How has that influenced your career?
The only job I had in Canada was CHEMA certified, because I came when I was 18. I finished college right off the bat. My first job was at 20 years old. Since then till now, I work in the healthcare field to be CHIM certified. Without having a CHIM credential, it will be impossible to find HN job in the healthcare setting, since it's a mandatory requirement at this point. 9 years ago, I was told by Julius that the average age of HN professional in Canada is 49 years old, which means that being an active CHIMA member, fulfilling your CPE credits, and attending conferences to gain additional knowledge in the field will set you up for success in the next 10 to 15 years, just because those people will retire and they'll create workspaces in the management role, for example, and if you have enough experience by then, you're good to go. And this is what was happening to me now.
Are you currently in Nubec or
No, I'm since I moved to I changed my job
changed?
five
Okay.
times.
Okay. Oh my
I am
goodness.
in
Okay.
Prince George, the northern
Prince
capital
George.
of British Columbia.
Okay.
We
Yeah.
bought a house here. We stay here. We love it here.
So then this question relates to Inuvik. What tell me about your time in Inuvik. Like what was the highlight of your time while you lived there?
Isolation. I rented a truck and I took my manager and another coworker and I drove 14 hours down south to Dempster to Dawson City, where the Golden Russian Klondike happened, on the highway without asphalt called Dempster Highway, without any gas stations because we drove overnight. I spent a day in Dawson City and drove next day 14 hours because for some reason I thought that's a good amount of time to be driving. Back to Inuvik, I did that twice. On top of that, I did some fishing, hiking, running, community. I love the Arctic, and this was the reason why we chose Prince George as our city to settle, because this is very similar vibe here. It's less Arctic, but it's still cold and snowy in the winter. So people and nature, this is my answer. Because in Toronto, you don't feel that. In Toronto, everybody is very busy. Everybody is very, don't put this in the article. Everybody is very hungry for a job, for competition, you know. But to me, it didn't, I always been myself and I always got great jobs that I wanted. Pretty much, I apply for the job, I get it, knock on the wood. But that's because I'm a little bit different. I value different stuff, you know. But in here, everybody is open. You can lie because people see you. Like you can, if somebody wants to say hi, they mean it. They say hi and then they're waiting for your answer, for your smile. This is what
Right.
northern life means to me.
I love it. Last question. This is what is your hope? You have a 1 month old son. What is your hope for him for the future?
My hope for my son is to meet my parents because they live in Ukraine and we have a war in Ukraine, okay? And my brother, because I don't know if there will be a life tomorrow or not. So, but hope number one is for my son to meet my parents, because without my parents, there will be no grandson or my son. And my hope number two is I hope to raise a great human. I don't care what he will do in life. I just hope he's empathetic and passionate about his hobbies and he's a great human.
Well, I'm going to end it there. And I think, with you as a dad, I think you're going to set him up for success. It was a pleasure, a big pleasure meeting you and getting to know you. And thank you so much for taking the time to sit and chat with me.
Thank you. Thanks for your time too.
All right. You have a good night, and I hope it's not too hot right now in Prince George.
35.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Stay cool then, Dennis.
Yes. Thank you. You too.
All right,
Thanks,
we'll
Kelly.
chat soon. Thank
Bye-bye.
you. Bye.